Thank you very much for joining us, Sir Andrew. Something that students here at the university may not know is that obviously you graduated here with a BA in economics back in 1985. Just how different is the university now to how it was back then?
I mean, it's enormously different in many regards. It's much bigger. There were only about 7,000 students here then. There was no Jubilee campus then, and much of the main campus has been upgraded. So it's bigger, it's more modern, there are better facilities, but it still has very much the same, I think, atmosphere. I think particularly around the Portland building, Trent building and the halls, I think you see much of the same character that was here 30 years ago.
You currently remain the CEO of GlaxoSmithKline. How difficult is it to balance your role as an ambassador for the university alongside that position?
Well, it takes a little bit of planning, obviously, to do more than one thing at a time. And so really trying to work with the university leadership and the Vice Chancellor's office to make sure that we schedule things with plenty of notice. One of the challenges being the Chancellor of Nottingham is it's not just about the campus here in Nottingham. You've also got St Boddington, obviously, but then you've got China, you've got Malaysia. And those are, that's not a trivial thing to just pop over to go and visit with. So planning is really critical. I think there are, fortunately, and obviously, no competitive issues. So there's no kind of intellectual challenge in terms of being able to accommodate the two. It's much more around just scheduling, and that just requires planning.
And your term as Chancellor here at the University is set to last until January 2017. However, many Chancellors seem to renew their terms for longer than 4 years. Is that your intention, or is that something that you haven't decided on yet?
Well, actually, I'm only really just over 2 years into this now. It's not something I'd really thought about. And, you know, like all these things, it takes two to tango. So it's really about whether or not the university wants you to extend and then whether or not you want to extend. And my guess is that's the kind of conversation you have probably a year beforehand. So maybe toward the end of this year, we should think about that.
How successful do you think we are here at the University of Nottingham with cutting-edge research?
I think Nottingham is one of the finest examples of this kind of thing in the UK. So it has a very, very positive blend of really, really leading research, but then applied research and and the idea of integrating different streams of research. So I think Nottingham sits in a group of maybe only half a dozen schools in the UK which have this kind of set of capabilities at scale. And so I'm pretty optimistic about the potential here. But the reason why I wrote the report and the reason I made such a point of emphasis on here, it really does require more collaboration within schools, so across faculty. In some cases, it requires collaboration between universities, and it requires collaboration with government research organisations. And that was really the thrust of that whole report.
Our university is unashamedly pursuing its status as a global university, with campuses, as you previously mentioned, in China and Malaysia. Just how important is it for the university to be a global university, and how do you think does that affect us here in the UK?
I think it's perfectly reasonable to not aspire to be a global university, but then you are what you are. You're a domestic school likely to produce a population of students who have a degree of diversity and perspective which is different from a global organisation. Once you've chosen to be a global organisation, then I think you need to do it at scale.
Yeah.
And I think where Nottingham have been led very well over the last 15 or so years is that they've made serious permanent commitments. You can never accuse Nottingham of spinning the notion that it's a global university. It is a global university by substance.
Yeah.
Right? And the two campuses overseas are good examples of that. But not just that. The 8,000 overseas students who are here at Nottingham is a great example of that. You put all of that together, then every single student has got a much higher probability, in my own view, of graduating better set for the world we live in, because we live in a completely globalized, almost instantaneous world. Students, that the biggest life opportunity you can have is to come out of university ready to go. And that, for me, is around having that globalization agenda in the university, which I think Nottingham is really in a class of almost one in terms of what it's achieved.
And it's fantastic to have the links as well with the other campuses, isn't it? And
absolutely. I mean, in lots of ways. So obviously, for some people, it gives them the chance to physically go. It certainly increases the probability of a cross-pollinization of ideas from different cultures. And in the long run, it will be a very important source of networking for graduates, because you'll all have graduated from the University of Nottingham. And over the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years, as you see the continued growth of Asia in particular, that will be a very important piece of legacy that all the students will be able to carry with them.
And so for those students graduating this summer, have you got any advice about how to make the most of what you learned at university to have a successful career?
That's a good question. I mean, the first bit of advice I give you when you graduate and when, you know, from the minute you finish your exams, is take as much time as possible to breathe and relax and just enjoy life. Some of you might be lucky enough to go straight to a job, but even then you might have 2, 3, 4 weeks break. Make the most of it. Go into the next thing with one thing in your mind, that whatever you've decided to do, it's not forever, right?
Yeah.
So don't feel the pressure that it has to be super successful because you have no other choices. You've got lots of choices. In today's world, you leave a great university with a great degree. You've hopefully got a decent start somewhere. If in 2 years you want to do something different, have the confidence to do something different. Recognize it not as a single track that you've elected to go on, but really the beginning of an adventure. Yeah. And be open-minded and look for opportunities. Take the opportunities when they come along. And I think you'll look back and you'll see the university education as something which, more than anything else, gave you the confidence to have that kind of mindset as you go into the world, so that hopefully you never feel trapped into a pathway. And if you can maintain that, I think you'll look back with a very kind of warm sense of what the university gave you.
And finally, can you tell us a little bit about your time at URN whilst you're at university? We heard you had a specialist music show.
I'm not sure it was specialist to the extent to which it was music I liked.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, that's essentially
which is
what
probably
it is
what
now.
It is. Yeah, yeah. And so I did an evening show with a girl called Anne Wilkes. So Anne and I co-hosted a show. I think it was probably from about 11 till 1 or 2 in the morning. I can't quite remember. It's probably not very different to the story today, in the sense that we wanted to play what we liked. The station manager wanted us to play the playlist he liked. It was really a question of how much you could get away with before somebody stopped you. So we enjoyed that. We had lots of competitions. In certainly then, the scarce currency were free tickets to the various new movies in the cinema, so that was always the prizes. And it was fun. We enjoyed it, and it was a very nice way to I don't know, just learn a few different skills and try something which I'd never tried before, and for anybody who ever heard me would know I'd never have a chance again.
And that was over in the Cherry Tree studio.
Yeah, that was in the Cherry Tree buildings, which for those of you who were born in the in anywhere in the last 30 years would never have seen, but were essentially post-World War II temporary buildings. And so to put it mildly, where URN is now is luxury compared to what we had then.
And we're in the basement and we still complain.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? It's a terrific... It's great you have it here. And
no, it's fantastic.
It's amazing to me that, you know, when I live in London, I'm still able to tune into URN through all the digital technologies and streaming that's available. So that's also moved on dramatically, because I think when I was here, they had a very specific antennae which literally projected to the Derby Road and no further, because we didn't want to upset any of the neighbours.
Thank you very much, Sajid, for all of that, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much, Will. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.